saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It is illegal. Completely forbidden to visit here. Police strictly forbid anyone from stepping foot on this small speck of land in the Venetian Lagoon. And for good reason. Countless unexplained injuries and deaths have occurred here. More than 150,000 people have died on this island. Some call it the most haunted place on Earth. This episode, we're diving into the dark, disturbing story of Paveglia Island. We're going to hear real-life accounts from those who have visited the island and have left injured and traumatized. Reports of feeling choked and shoved. Stories of visitors who will be exploring the island and will hear someone creeping up behind them, whispering. It gets closer and closer, but as soon as they turn around, no one's there. In the story of a girl who visited the island and was violently attacked by an entity and was left needing stitches. And after that, I have three more true ghost stories for you. Real paranormal encounters, unrelated to the haunted island, but just as eerie. This is a paranormal variety show for you. By the end of this episode, you're going to be creeped out. Hey, maybe you already are. I know I am. If you want more stories, more chills, more mysteries, join my YouTube memberships or the Avery After Dark Patreon. Members get a bonus episode every single month and a new episode just dropped. So if you want extra content and want to support the show, hit the links in the description and come hang out with me. Thank you to all who have joined. You are the best. And if you're loving these creepy episodes, leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell me which episode has been your favorite. And I'll take notes and make sure I bring you more of what you enjoy on the show. Now, without further ado, this is The Haunting of Paveglia Island. This island wasn't always an abandoned, haunted nightmare. Originally, it was a small, peaceful community. Families farmed the land, fished the waters, and lived ordinary lives there. Children played along the shoreline, and the air smelt of sea. Then came the 14th century. Black Plague. Venice, desperate to contain the disease, used Paveglia as a quarantine island. They wanted a place to put those who were sick, and this island was their answer. Anyone suspected of carrying the plague, men, women, and children, were sent here and never returned. Mass graves were dug. Over 150,000 souls died here, and many believe they never truly left. The 20th century brought a new horror. Paveglia became a mental asylum. In 1922, it opened to the public. It operated as a psychiatric hospital, though it was also used as a nursing home and long-term care facility for the elderly. It's pretty horrible. Patients were experimented on here and abandoned. And there was this infamous doctor whose obsession with the island's energy drove him to madness. Some say he tortured patients for personal curiosity, eventually leaping from the asylum's bell tower to join the dead. Some nights, visitors swear they can hear the doctor's laughter and screams echoing across the island. The asylum added a new layer of terror to Paveglia. After 1968, the asylum closed. Nature reclaimed the island, but the horrors remained. It remained closed, but curiosity about the island grew. People wanted to check it out for themselves. Visitors report sudden chills, whispers, shadow figures, and unexplained lights. And then we have the attacks. Word quickly spread of visitors having really horrific experiences here. Violent, brutal. This is no average haunting. This place is dangerous. Multiple accounts claim visitors felt an invisible force pushing or choking them. There are quite a few reports of visitors that say it feels like someone is choking them. They can feel hands wrapping around their necks. Oh my goodness. Some say they were scratched by something unseen. Others describe the feeling of overwhelming dread, nausea, and it's not uncommon for people to actually become physically ill here, and the feeling that they're being watched. There are reports of hearing disembodied screams, strange voices. According to some online tales, crews who filmed or explored the island experienced malfunctioning equipment, disembodied screams, strange noises, and here's the kicker, possession-like episodes. No. One of the most talked about stories, some online sources and paranormal sites claim there was once a family who either bought or stayed on the island and that their daughter's face was ripped open by some sort of entity and she required stitches. I have never in my life heard about anything like this. That's really crazy. It really makes you have a soft spot for the ghosts that just close cupboards and slam doors, you know? Because you could go to this island and you could get attacked. I mean, good heavens. One urban explorer venturing onto the island illegally described walking near a mass grave from the plague era when suddenly his flashlight began to flicker. And then he felt a cold, invisible hand brush against his back. When he turned around, he saw nothing, but the shadows seemed to move independently, almost watching him. He fled the island immediately, swearing he heard hundreds of whispers following him to the boat. There are a lot of people who will sneak onto the island. You know, couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. I would never. Now, we discussed the bell tower. Legend says a doctor at the asylum went insane and jumped from the bell tower. And ever since, visitors claim the place has become physically dangerous. And this tower is old. The floors are collapsing. It's very unstable to venture into, but that's not the only reason it's dangerous. You gotta hear this. A horrifying true account comes from a visitor who managed to enter the abandoned asylum and climb the infamous bell tower. He's in there exploring when suddenly he hears footsteps above him, though no one else was in the building. Then a loud, inhuman scream echoed through the empty hallways. Panicking, he ran down the stairs and claimed that a shadow figure blocked the doorway, stopping him from being able to leave. A few moments later, he blinked and it was gone. He left trembling, convinced that there is something truly dark in that bell tower, the doctor or something else entirely. But it was clear this was very violent. Local fishermen report seeing strange green and white lights hovering above the island at night. Some claim the lights float over the ruins like lost souls searching for peace. On one occasion, a tourist boat attempted to approach for a photo, when all of a sudden the engine mysteriously failed. And everyone on board got this sudden feeling of anxiety and dread, so they retreated. Whether it's spiritual energy or something natural, the lights have become part of the island's lore and terrify even the most skeptical. This is really scary. One paranormal investigator was on the island, wandering the ruins, when he looked up and saw a figure in a ragged plague mask. When approached, the figure vanished instantly. But this spooked the team so bad, they left immediately. I don't know if you've seen a plague mask. They're pretty creepy looking. So imagine seeing that. Oh yeah, that's a nightmare. There's another aspect of this haunting, and it's the psychological impact of this place. After visiting and leaving the island, many report lasting effects. Night terrors, anxiety, a heaviness. Many report feeling sick for days after visiting this place. Now, many will say, yes, it is dangerous to visit this island. But the reason it's closed is because of structural hazards. Abandoned buildings, decaying floors, unstable walls. These are real risks. People can become injured here and even die. And that has no connection to any ghost activity. But those who have visited the island will tell you without a doubt, This place is different. It's haunted. And the things they saw, heard, and felt can't be explained. Many reports will say that people who try to spend the night here leave screaming and terrified and traumatized. Yeah. The government has said no way. It's illegal for anyone to enter this place. The authorities say don't even try it. We forbid anyone from visiting this place. Those who rent boats and sneak onto the island will often have police boats chasing after them. It is officially closed to the public. No regular ferry goes there. Visiting without special permission is strictly prohibited. Despite the obvious danger of visiting this island, people are really fascinated by this supposed haunted island. Tourists will take boats around the island, trying to get a glimpse of its ruins and maybe spot a little ghost in there. And there have been countless ghost shows and documentaries about the island and its legends. But most who visit this place do so at their own peril, and many return with some pretty terrifying stories, as you've heard. This place has a real draw. It's illegal, it's forbidden, and it's haunted. Plague, mass graves, cruelty, abandonment. Many believe that such intense energy, tragedy, leaves a residual energy, a kind of imprint on the land itself. And I do believe that. I'd love to know your thoughts, but have you ever visited a place and just felt heavy? Whether it's a house, a hotel, a town, there's some places that just give you that visceral reaction where you're like, I gotta get out of here. If you've ever felt that, let me know where in the comments. Whether you call it ghosts, residual energy, or just a heavy, unsettling feeling, this island certainly has a presence and a reputation. And I gotta ask, would you be interested in visiting the island? I think the physical aspect of this place, I'm out. Now let's get into some creepy firsthand paranormal encounters. Our first story. This is the woman in the woods. We moved into our new rental home in late March of this year. It was a good deal. A little too good, honestly, but the timing was perfect. My husband got a job transfer, and we needed something fast. The house was a cozy two-story with a big backyard that slopes down into a dense tree line. Beyond that, just woods. Nothing but trees for what feels like miles. At first, I loved it. Our kids, 8 and 5, had room to run. There's a fire pit, a little back porch. Idyllic, really. But then things started to feel off. It began with the dreams. A week or so after we moved in, I started waking up in the middle of the night, drenched in sweat, heart racing. Always the same dream. I'm standing at the back edge of our yard, staring into the woods. It's night, completely silent, and I can feel something in there, just past the first row of trees, watching me. Sometimes I catch glimpses of it. A woman, maybe? Tall with tangled hair and long arms that don't move right. But I can never see her face. I chalked it up to stress. New house, new town, kids adjusting. Fine. But the dreams didn't stop. And worse, I started feeling that same sensation during the day. Like someone was watching me through the windows. I'd be doing dishes and suddenly feel like I was being stared at. You know that feeling? Like if you turned around fast enough, you'd catch someone? I even closed the blinds once, mid-afternoon, because I couldn't take it anymore. When I told my husband, he brushed it off as post-move anxiety, he called it. Said it was probably the party we hosted a week in, which, yes, was chaotic. And according to him, I just hadn't fully decompressed yet. Even my oldest told me I was being dramatic, which felt weird. She's usually the sensitive one. Then, one morning, I was out front watering the planters when our next-door neighbor came over. Very sweet woman, probably late 60s. She introduced herself and asked how we were settling in. I mentioned how peaceful it was, aside from the creepy woods. That's when she got quiet, just looked at the tree line for a second, then turned to me and said, "I wouldn't step foot into those woods if I were you." I asked what she meant. She hesitated and then said, "There's stories, old stories, about a woman who used to live in the area a long time ago. Some say she was a healer, others say she was darker than that. Witchcraft, curses, the usual small-town legends. People say they've seen unexplainable things out there, heard voices calling their names. Even now, people avoid the woods. I would never, ever go back there. Tell your kids to stay out of those woods. I laughed nervously, saying something like, oh yeah, probably just a silly town legend. But she didn't laugh. I felt a strange sense of unease when she mentioned a witch woman because that is exactly who I've been dreaming of. I told my husband and he could tell. I was very concerned. So we just decided that none of us would venture off into the woods alone. I felt that was fair and made peace with it in my mind. But the next night, I had the worst dream yet. In it, I was outside again, but this time, I wasn't alone. The woman was standing halfway between me and the trees. I couldn't move, couldn't speak. Her face was gray and sunken, her eyes completely black. She opened her mouth like she was screaming, but no sound came out. I woke up sobbing, and when I got out of bed to splash water on my face, I swear, I was shocked to find our back door was wide open. We always keep it locked. My husband swore he didn't open it, and the kids were fast asleep. It's been quiet the last few days, but I can feel her standing just past the tree line, getting closer every night. I'm now terrified as my youngest is saying a lady has been talking to her through the window at night. She's young, but this is all just too much. We're currently looking for a new place. I'm afraid to find out what will happen if we stay here. Anything about haunted forests or creepy woods? That's right up my alley. If you thought that was eerie, wait until you hear our next story. This is The Cabin. This happened a few summers ago, and it's still one of the creepiest things I've ever experienced. And I know I'll never forget it. I went up to my friend Matt's family cabin in northern Michigan with him and two other friends, JJ and Tyler. We'd all known each other since college, and this trip was just going to be a long weekend getaway. Drinks, grilling, fishing, the usual. The cabin sat way back off a dirt road near a river, and there were no other houses around for a good mile or two. Matt's dad owns the place. It's a decent-sized log cabin, two stories, kind of old, but well-kept. He couldn't come up with us because he had work Friday, but the plan was he'd drive up after he got off and get there later Friday night. So we had the cabin to ourselves that first night. We got in around 5 p.m. and spent the evening mostly outside, cooking burgers, chilling. It was just starting to get dark, and I decided to head inside for a minute to use the restroom and grab a refill. The second I stepped inside, the house felt different. Not scary, just quiet and colder in that unnatural way. When you're used to hearing people laughing and moving around outside, maybe it was just being in the middle of nowhere. I went to the bathroom, grabbed my hoodie, and was about to head back out when I heard footsteps upstairs. Clear, deliberate footsteps, creaking along the floorboards. Now I froze because I knew for a fact no one had been inside with me. Everyone was outside, and Matt had said the whole second floor was just a hallway and a couple bedrooms. I stepped closer to the stairs. I didn't want to go up, I just wanted to listen. The footsteps kept going for a few seconds, and then I saw a man walk past the top of the stairs. No joke. He went from left to right across the hallway, just calmly walking like he knew exactly where he was going. The man was tall, balding, wearing jeans and some kind of dark jacket or long sleeve. I didn't see his face clearly, but I remember how casual his walk looked, like he lived there. He didn't look at me, but I immediately backed up and went back outside. Matt noticed right away and was like, dude, are you okay? I said, I think your dad's here. I just saw someone upstairs. Everyone got quiet. Matt frowned and said, "No, he's not. He texted me an hour ago. He's still at work." We all looked at each other and went inside, together. The house was empty. The second floor, empty. Every room, closet, under the beds. There was nobody. All the windows were locked from the inside. The front and back doors had been shut. We even checked the basement for good measure. Matt called his dad just to check. He answered on speaker and confirmed. He was still in the city and wouldn't be there until the next night. We spent the rest of the evening kind of pretending it didn't happen, but I didn't sleep well. Not because I thought an intruder was still inside, but because something about that man felt wrong. Like he didn't belong in a physical sense. He wasn't threatening, but he also wasn't living, if that makes any sense. The rest of the weekend, I felt uneasy in that cabin, like I was being watched from the second floor. I swore I catch shadows in the corner of my eyes, cold spots in random rooms. I never saw him again, but I felt off. Matt's dad never mentioned anything weird when he arrived, and I didn't bring it up. None of us did. But ever since then, I've wondered, who did I see? Was it a ghost? An intruder? I've tried to figure out how someone could have broken in and escaped without any of us seeing or noticing. I don't know. Either way, I'm never going back to that cabin. Our next story, and this one is so scary. This is The Stay. My husband and I had driven down to South Carolina for a weekend trip. Nothing crazy, just a short getaway to break up the monotony. We stayed at a fairly standard chain hotel. Not one of those historic creepy ones or anything. It was clean, modernish. Two queen beds, and our room was on the third floor, right by the stairwell. The first night was uneventful, but the second night, that's when things got weird. Around 11 p.m., my husband said he wanted to go downstairs to the lobby business center to finish up some work stuff on his laptop. He works remotely, and something urgent had come up. He grabbed his laptop bag, kissed me goodnight, and left. I stayed behind and fell asleep about 15 or 20 minutes later watching TV. I don't know what time it was when I woke up, but I remember the room being pitch dark. No TV glow, just complete silence. And I felt someone come into the room. Not heard, felt. Like the pressure in the room shifted slightly. You know that distinct weight when someone walks in? I was lying on my side facing the wall, and I heard the door shut gently. Then, heavy footsteps. Not rushed, slow, deliberate. I was still half asleep, so I just assumed it was my husband coming back. I felt the bed dip behind me as someone sat down. Then, they laid down fully. Their body pressed into the mattress. I even felt the sheet pull slightly. Then came the breathing. Heavy, raspy, way too close. I could feel warmth near the back of my neck. And then, it said my name. Soft, drawn out, almost like a whisper, but not a human whisper. More like a throat full of gravel. Emily. Now I wanted to be clear. I was wide awake at this point. Frozen, but very much conscious. I whispered, "Jake?" My husband's name. There was no answer. Just more slow, steady breathing. And that horrible feeling that something was watching me. I finally forced myself to roll over, and the bed was empty. The other pillow hadn't even been touched. I jumped out of bed, turned on every light in the room, and checked everything. Bathroom, closet, under the beds. The room was completely empty. My heart was pounding. I grabbed my phone and called my husband. "Hey, are you still downstairs?" He said, "Yeah, just finishing up. Are you okay?" I didn't tell him about what happened until he came back about 15 minutes later. He said the front desk clerk had been sitting there the whole time, and he hadn't left the lobby since he went down. I barely slept that night, and we left first thing in the morning. Here's the thing that really gets me. When we checked out, I casually asked the woman at the front desk if our floor had any, like, plumbing issues or construction. Anything that would explain weird noises or maintenance. She said, no, not recently. Why? I left it off and just said, weird night, that's all. Then she said, completely deadpan, you're on the third floor, right? I nodded. And the look on her face was strange. She just slowly nodded. Like she knew something, but wasn't going to say anything. We never went back to that hotel. And I know some listening may think that I was dreaming. But I know this happened. It was very real. Someone was in the room with me that night. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. Next time, I've got so much more mystery and eeriness coming your way. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.